And welcome back, everyone, to the Film Reel Cast podcast, where this week we have just two of us on the podcast. It's myself and Kelly. Kelly, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all, thanks. It's been a really stressful day, and I'm just looking forward to talking about this film and just hopefully relaxing.
I mean, I'm sure I can take the piss out of you to take your mind off things, if that'll help.
Yeah, that really normally helps, doesn't it? It really, really does. So we are missing Neil and Steve, but they will be back soon, I'm well informed. But on with what the film we're going to do. This week we're going to do 2020 Run, which is on Netflix, which is a film chosen by yourself. Why is that?
Well, I was misled. It came up as, I don't know, in the top 10 at some point on Netflix. So I thought, oh, let's have a look. And it said it was a horror film. I thought, oh, I haven't heard of it. I haven't seen it. Let's have a go. And I'm very disappointed to say it is not a horror in any way, shape or form.
No, I was surprised. Because, yeah, as you say, when you go to Netflix and it's got like action, comedy, like romance and stuff like that, and you obviously got the horror line, you're flicking through and this always comes up, because I've seen it and I didn't realise I'd seen it before, but it always comes up in horror. And it just really, really isn't. And it's so misleading, like, by the genre that it's in and the title that it's in.
No, it's not even slightly scary, really. It's depraved, but it's not scary.
Yeah, completely. And it's directed by Anish Chaganti, who is behind the film Searching, which is a really good film. And that is a film I do recommend. It's a really original type of film. And I don't know if it was, I think it was on Netflix quite a while back in the UK. It's just an interesting film. It's really, really good. So the way it's done is very, very clever. And this film was delayed due to COVID, because obviously it's 2020. It wasn't going to come out on the big screen, but it kind of went international in a few cinemas and not in too many places, which is, it still surprised me. It still made 5 million worldwide, but I don't know the budget for it. I can't imagine it would be that much, would you?
No, I imagine there is a bit of a profit in there, but how much, I don't know, because it's 5 million in the grand scheme of things isn't much for a film, is it?
Not really, not at all. But the cast is really small. Obviously, you go for IMDb, there's quite a larger cast on there. But we've just got Sarah Paulson, who plays Diane, the mum, and Keira Allen, who plays Chloe, the daughter. They're the two main characters. And I have to say, even though she's quite a strange-looking woman, Sarah Paulson, who plays Diane, the mum, really, really fits that bill well. She's got mental health problems and she plays that role very, very well, doesn't she?
She does. And her facial expressions are very good. She's clearly worked on those quite well, because you can just see by the look in her eyes and how they go as to what she's like thinking and where she's going to go with her next move.
Yes, clearly, definitely invested. See, Keira Allen, who does play Chloe, who's used a wheelchair since 2014, and the filmmakers wanted to cast a disabled actress, stating that Hollywood rarely cast a disabled actress and would normally cast someone who's able-bodied and put them in a wheelchair. So I think it's quite refreshing that, and I didn't really think about it whilst we were watching the film, if she was actually like disabled or not, and what kind of her disability of how far it did go. But yeah, she actually is. But
I wouldn't have said that, because her legs don't, and I know this sounds ridiculous, I'm aware, before you pull it apart, but her legs don't look like they aren't used. She's got muscle on her legs. She's got,
it does not say, like, using a wheelchair since 2014.
Yeah, but so that's 2020. 10 years. Okay, 6 years, sorry.
Yeah.
So that's 6 years, supposedly, of not using any muscles in your legs. I mean, obviously, I'm wrong. If she uses a wheelchair, clearly I'm wrong. But I just thought, when she moves initially, when you see her lifting her legs out of the bed, I think right at the very beginning, I didn't think her legs looked like they weren't used. They didn't look, maybe she does exercises or something with them, I don't know, but they just don't look scrawny or weak.
No, no. And I know what you mean, because when you do see, say, the Olympics, and you see the people like in the wheelchairs, and you can tell that they're kind of, in comparison to their body dimensions, that their legs really, really aren't used at all due to their disability. Whereas there is even a clip in this where she does move her toe. If that was real, she must be kind of able-bodied to a certain degree. I didn't actually go into it to see what had happened and why she'd been in there since 2014, but she does move pretty well, which is why she plays this role so well, doesn't she? The girl in a wheelchair.
Yeah, she does play it well. But like you say, maybe it's because she has some experience in it, but maybe she's not fully disabled and she has, like you say, she moved her toe and maybe she does have some feeling and that's why her legs don't look like emaciated.
Good word. Good word. Every week we get a good word and you've got it in pretty quick. I like that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Fantastic. And other facts, because we always go through facts. A deleted scene shows Diane had an abusive mother who killed herself in front of Diane when she was 7 years old, which may help explain the scars on Diane's back. I don't remember seeing any scars in this, do you?
No. Oh, actually, yes. There is a saying that. She's got a weird, like, cross or something, hasn't she, at some point?
What, like a crucifix on her back or something?
No, not quite like a crucifix, but she's got lines that cross.
Right.
I'm
I
sure,
don't
but when would I
really
have
remember
seen
seeing
that?
anything.
I can't remember. Why would I have seen that? Ignore that bit. I'll readdress that if it comes up.
Yeah. Obviously, as per usual, if you're a regular listener, we can contain plot spoilers and probably foul language, like it does every single week. But another fact, a psychological disorder the mother would be diagnosable with is called fictitious disorder imposed on another, FDIA, historically known as Munchausen syndrome by proxy. It's rarely diagnosed in part because it's psychological problem, a relatively low frequency, and in part it's very difficult for any medical professional to diagnose. Children typically have to be removed from their parents' custody for a few weeks to see if their medical symptoms are real or not, and which plays a massive part. And I had heard of that, but I did not have a clue what it was. But you kind of called this out early doors, didn't you?
I did indeed, because it's very similar to the Gypsy Rose Blanchard story, where in real life her mum did this to her and kept her in a wheelchair and somehow kept convincing authorities and medical people that she was ill and had all these problems. And she got loads of benefits and houses and holidays and trips and everything until Gypsy and her boyfriend killed her.
Shocking, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I really didn't know what it was, but it's just insane to think that does go on, and the psychological damage is just unreal. But another fact I found, which may answer a question that we were speaking about earlier today, is when Diane and Chloe get out of their car and go to the movie theater, a bumper sticker can be seen on the car that reads "Dog Pound Volunteer, Who Rescued Who?" This provides possible explanation as to how Diane was able to get a prescription for dog medication, that she likely borrowed it from the dog pound.
Okay, because yeah, I always have it. Yeah, but that still doesn't answer why the medication. Or do you want? I'll come on to that later, actually, when we get there.
Exactly. Yeah, let's get
Doesn't.
into the film and let's start off with the
Yes.
synopsis as well. For those who have not seen it, again, just to remind you, it will contain plot spoilers. So if you haven't seen the film, go onto Netflix. Stop listening to this, watch the film, and then come back. So Chloe is a teenager, and she's a wheelchair user cared for and homeschooled by her mother, Diane. Chloe discovers the medication prescribed to her is, in fact, medication for a dog, which is a muscle relaxant, which keep her wheelchair-bound and will do for the rest of her life. Chloe nearly escapes with help from the mailman, but fails when she's found by her mother, resulting in the mailman being murdered, we believe, and we'll talk about that again later. Chloe wakes up in the basement of her home and discovers she's not the daughter of Diane, but kidnapped at birth to replace the dead daughter of her mother. And she's drugged to remain a prisoner in her own house, where she fails to apply or successfully for university because her mum is hiding the actual papers when the mailman delivers them. To escape, she overdoses while she's locked in the basement, ended up in hospital, where she's kidnapped again by her mum, Diane, and she finds out the truth, and it ends with a shootout outside the hospital, and Diane is then hospitalized herself in an institution, where she's seen in the final scene being drugged by Chloe. and the tables are reversed. And it's a very strange ending. But that's the film. As I say, if you haven't seen it, we've completely spoiled it now. But it starts off in the theatre where it's obviously Diane giving birth, not to Chloe, but to a baby that lived just for 2 hours and then sadly died, isn't it?
It is indeed. And you kind of get the impression that the baby's going to die. But then obviously you're proved otherwise for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once you kind of, they don't let on. And I like the fact they don't let on. And you do believe that this baby we're seeing is Chloe when we see her again. But it does bring up kind of ailments which are very hard to, like arrhythmia, another one that I can't pronounce, asthma, I can pronounce that because I've got it, diabetes, and it brings
hemochromatosis.
There you go, and it tells you what they are, and these are obviously all the ailments that poor old Chloe has got, and that how much is being contributed by her mum, really don't know. And to start with, the kind of arc of Diane, the mum, she's in a class of kind of survivors and people who are dealing with... No, we won't be survivors, will it? She's in a class
carers.
Of people... Yeah, who are carers. And everyone is quite down and they're struggling. Whereas she... I don't know how long she's been going to this, but she's got the opposite approach and she speaks really openly.
Diane? How do you feel?
How do I feel about...
Chloe's going to college in a few months. How do you feel?
Good.
Good? Come on, Diane. You can be honest with us.
Okay. First of all, we haven't heard back yet from colleges, so nothing's confirmed. But as far as how I feel, I've been taking care of Chloe for 17 years. And in all that time, I haven't traveled, gone out, or dated. And she's going somewhere where she gets to do all of that and more. So, yeah, I feel goddamn great.
And for me, that's the first kind of red flag of you're a bit of a wobble and something's going to happen and you're going to be the plot driver of that, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I kind of think she's definitely the plot driver because she is so polar opposite to every other parent in the room. But at the same time, I genuinely didn't see how twisted she would get just from that. I didn't think it would be quite as bad as what it turns out to be.
No, I agree that you don't know to the extent because no one could guess that. But I just thought, she's the polar opposite of everyone else in that room. And I love the next clip. And it's kind of puts things in perspective, really, because there obviously are people like this. And it goes through the daily ritual of what Chloe has to do with regards to applying cream to her skin. It looks like awful kind of eczema that she's got and just taking numerous pills. And initially, the bond between her and her mum, really, really good. And everything seems to be hunky-dory. The mum is the main carer and they've got a really a good supportive relationship, haven't they?
Yeah, it seems like they're best friends. They're not just mother and daughter. They're best friends and talk about everything and do everything together and like have no secrets, that kind of a close bond that every parent, I suppose, would really want with their kids.
Mm. And again, you see the mum doing... kind of exercises, not exercises, it's more kind of physiotherapy that she's doing for Chloe. And obviously, she doesn't need to do that. We work out in the end, she doesn't. But it shows to a degree of how kind of obsessed she is that she must go through this ritual every day. And when you think at the end of it that it's all untrue, it's quite scary, isn't it? That the level of kind of how obsessed she is of keeping her daughter, well, she's not her daughter, but keeping Chloe in the house, but she's willing just to let this routine really kind of take over her life, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that is what Munchausen's is, isn't it? You believe all these things are wrong with you, and so with this one by proxy, you believe that these problems are real. She's got to a point where it's not a fantasy to her, or that's real life, that's reality, that's what it is. So she is invested in it, and the more time she puts into it, the more believable it is to her, and the more it becomes reality in her mind.
And she's clearly really clever because she's applying to universities, but she learned that she's successful at the end. And the mum's hiding the successful applications to keep her in the house. And you see her in the bedroom building what, I don't know, is possibly like a radio or communication device. I thought this would really come into it, like in the film, but it's a kind of a big old MacGuffin, really, isn't it? It doesn't come into anything.
It isn't, because she does use that mechanical grab her hand thing that she's clearly made. So this particular contraption, whatever it is, doesn't come into play, but something else that she has made herself does help.
Yeah.
So it kind of leads into it. There is a little bit of a, what is it, an Easter egg kind of thing? But
yeah, not, exactly.
Not really.
No, I know what you mean. And it's weird because there are kind of clues or Easter eggs, as you just said, that when Diane's watching TV and there's Chloe licking the bowl out and they've just made cakes and stuff, that there's no sign of a wheelchair. And you only notice that on reruns, and she's sitting there watching it. And she looks really sad. And you kind of wonder, is she sad because this was pre a possible accident we're going to find out about? Or you learn that she's just recollecting, this would have been my baby had it had lived. But you really just don't know at the moment, do you? And I like that. And it's only on reruns where you do pick it up and think, yeah, I actually do know for the first time when you watch it on a repeat of what she's actually thinking.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on the no wheelchair bit in the video where she's licking the bowl from making a cake or whatever it is. I didn't pick up on that at all, if I'm honest. But I never thought, because you said you mentioned accidents, I never thought any of this was due to an accident, because of the way they lead you in to showing you that there was something wrong with the baby, then the baby was in the incubator, and then it goes straight on to telling you about all these ailments that this kid has got. I always thought that the problems came from whatever problems she had at birth. I never thought that it was down to an accident. So I figured these were problems that she's always had, and she's just grown into them, if you like, or grown around.
Do you think it would have been better if she would have highlighted some kind of accident then that happened at 6 years old or something, that the mum said, look, life was really good, but you were hit by a car or there was a car accident?
Well, I don't know how, because obviously the real kid died. So does that mean she didn't tell anyone about the real kid because she nicked this one? How did she get around it? So she didn't tell anyone about the trauma that she went through of losing her child, and this is just another this so this is just that child.
Yeah, this is the child that she kidnapped. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that, but what I'm saying is nobody obviously knows she kidnapped her.
No.
And no, so that means nobody knows that she actually lost the first kid.
Well, there's no one else in this film, really. There's kind of a few bit parts. Like the pharmacist, the mailman, and that's it, really. So there's no other family members who come in, and obviously I don't know if a baby passes in hospital or what do they do? I mean, because there obviously had to have been a funeral, but if she lives on her own, there's no mention of the dad. So it's
there's
really
no mention
convenient.
Of anything.
No.
Yeah.
It is very, very convenient. And she doesn't mention, are we seeing grandma soon or anything like that? And there's no photos on the wall of family. So, and possibly that's because she might ask too many questions, but I don't know, because she has grown up with her. So it doesn't really make sense. But one thing we do learn is that there are problems when she goes through the shopping after Diane gets back, and she finds this box of, or this little pill box with Diane's name on it. And it doesn't make sense as to why she's got these pills, does it?
No, because why are they in her name if she's not on them? I don't understand how she's got a prescription in her name that's not for her.
Well, I don't know why she didn't think that those pills were just for her mum.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I get that. I don't know. I suppose if you get on as well as they portray that they get on, you'd know if your mum was taking tablets, and you'd also know what your tablets look like. So I guess she's looked at them, seen that they look like some, because she doesn't she go on and check, I think, to see if they do look the same, because she sees them in her daily pill box.
Yeah, she does check, but I kind of initially, I don't really understand the suspicion because and why she puts them back. Because if she sees the pill box, and why doesn't she say, "Oh, mum, what are these pills for? Like, what's wrong? What are you on?"
Yeah,
I don't
that's.
understand the kind of the mystery because they're not addressed to her. So what? A mum might have an ailment that she hasn't told her about. That's not an unrealistic thing, is it?
No, but I think it is more to do with the fact that she recognises what the pills look like and they are the same as what she's taking. I think that's why there's a little bit of suspicion. I mean, I could be wrong because, yeah, it's an odd conclusion to jump to if
Yeah,
you've
and she
got
doesn't
no
hide it very
other.
well because Chloe gets the pills out of the medicine cabinet using that arm that you
That's where
mentioned
they,
earlier. And it's the sticker is stuck on with Chloe's name. And she looks at them straight away and can see that they're the pills that she pulled out of her mum's bag. And it's stuck on so poorly, the Chloe Sherman sticker, and she sees her mum under there, mum's name, which is the first red flag. And this is kind of the film's only an hour and a half long, and this is 16 minutes. So it gets going pretty quick. And the mum's still bringing the medication. And I like the fact that she's alert enough to not take those pills. And she's doing the old put it under my tongue and spit it out job, isn't she?
Yeah, and I do like that. She doesn't just go, oh, okay, and sort of go along with it. She's got the balls, if you like, to actually go, I don't think this is right, so I'm not going to do that.
No, which is a weird thing to think that of your mum, isn't it? Or your dad or whoever, if you're in that situation. Because before this, we don't get any alarm bells that their
Well,
relationship's bad, so why doesn't she ask her? She's on the internet and she's trying to search on Google, isn't she?
Yeah, she. Oh, yeah, that was it because she hasn't got an iPhone because her mum says, no, you can't have one.
Yeah.
That was what I was saying. So, that to me is weird. I found that really odd that you've got a teenage kid who isn't allowed, she's homeschooled, and yet she's not allowed access to the outside world in any way. The internet is restricted. She's not allowed an iPhone, which in America is basically the only smartphone you have, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
only Apple products. So, why? To me, that is a bit concerning.
It is, and that they don't address that either, which is very convenient. But she does try and get on the internet, and obviously there isn't any internet. And I love the shot, and it's so creepy when she's trying to use the computer and she doesn't, and she kind of leans back in defeat, and then there is Diane sitting kind of at the dinner table, just staring at her. And that is a very, very good shot, isn't it?
It is, and I'd say that was the only bit for me that sort of fits in the horror category because it's proper creepy. This weird figure, you know who it is, but this weird figure just staring at you in the dark. It's a good shot, but they needed more of stuff like that, in my opinion.
But it's good she coughs using a computer or try to use it because I had the conversation the next day that the internet doesn't work.
How did you know that was about the internet?
I used the computer last night.
When?
While you were asleep.
What were you looking up?
Why my printer keeps dying. I was trying to fix the module board, but it might just need a better nozzle.
Does it?
I don't know, there wasn't internet.
And I like the fact that she is smart enough to kind of fess up. Yeah, I tried to use a computer last night just to do some like checks, and the internet's down. And that was good because if she would have lied, it would have been, oh God, this has been done so many times before. It's a real trope, isn't it?
Yeah, I find that quite surprising, again, considering their relationship, because she's not afraid almost to challenge her mum.
No, I completely
She's
agree.
got a little bit of guts behind her to go, I don't think this is right. I'm not going to be completely honest because I don't know if I fully trust you, but I will give you enough information to get you off my back.
And it's
So
a
she's
weird
not
thing
stupid.
because of the internet is down, that she has to ring like a fucking random number because the pharmacy won't help her, to ask someone to do an internet search for her on Trigoxin, the drug, to say what it looks like and what it's for. And that's just a sign of real desperation, isn't it?
It is, but I think that's quite using your initiative. I think that's quite impressive.
I liked it. I thought it was a very original thing to do, that you're stuck there, you're kind of housebound, wheelchair bound, you've got no technology. So just ring someone up and say you're not selling something, and that's it. And the guy whose voice he speaks to, I can't remember his name now, but it is Flash from the new Spider-Man Tom Holland films.
Oh, well, there you go. Didn't know that.
Yeah, they used his voice. But he does confirm, thankfully, that that the pills are a bit weird. And even says this is the weirdest thing I've ever done over the phone.
What the hell do you need so badly?
I need you to open up Google and look up the word at Trigoxin. T-R-I-G.
Hold on. It's the weirdest thing I've ever done. Click in Google. All right, what was it again?
T-R-I-G-O-X-I-N.
Okay. Got it. Trigoxin is a brand name drug that treats severe heart conditions, including atrial fibrillation, flutter, or heart failure. Jesus, this is intense.
Can you click on images?
Is this what you take?
Yes, please just tell me what you see.
Pills. Just lots of pills.
Do they all look the same?
Yeah, they're identical.
What color are they?
But she does say to the mum, let's go to the cinema because we've not been for a while. And she's obviously got loads of shit planned that she wants to do. And you see in her piggy bank, she's got fuck load of these pills that her mum's forcing her to take. And they're going to see this film. And halfway through, she needs to go for a number one. And she goes across to the pharmacy. And God, she's gone ages, isn't she?
She is. I don't know how she thought she'd get away with this, to be honest. And also, I'm sorry, if I'm in a pharmacy, I don't care if you're in a wheelchair, there's a fucking queue.
Yeah, she used that wheelchair card really easy, didn't she?
Yeah, she got away with that really easy. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, yep, that's absolutely shit, but I've stood here for however long,
yeah.
You can wait as well. Just being in a wheelchair does not negate a queue.
No. You want to be treated equally, this is being treated equally, you stand in the queue. And the fact that she brings a tablet and shows the pharmacist, and she makes that as a treasure hunt to get the information.
That's
so contrived and convenient, isn't it, this scene? I mean, it had to be done because it ups the stakes of what's happening.
It's a game.
A game? What kind of game?
A scavenger hunt.
Really?
Yes, yes, 100% yes. Mom and I love scavenger hunts. So many memories of scavenging and hunting and... Anyway, the next clue is about the medication Mom takes, and I don't think she expected me to come here, which is why I really need you to help me win.
But they'd never give this information out, because the medication isn't for her.
No, and they would never... Yeah, there's so much that I have issue with in this entire scene, because it's a massive... It's a weird thing to ask, even if it's a scavenger hunt, as she describes it. Hmm. There's a massive incident between a mum and a daughter about medication that... She said that she's got, and she's trying to find out. So would you not, as a professional in that situation, think, it's a bit strange. I should probably tell someone about that.
Yeah, or do it's a follow-up. Really weird. And then the mum comes along, interrupting everyone, screaming, making a scene herself, and then just injects her in the leg and knocks her out.
But again, is that not weird? Because the girl wasn't losing it.
No.
The girl wasn't going, Chloe wasn't going crazy. She was getting very to the point of what she needs to get to, but she wasn't causing a scene like her mum did.
No, it's really funny, isn't it, that she just needed an inhaler, and surely the pharmacist, because you go there and you kind of ask them, I've got this, I've got that, what's the best thing to take? So they do know basic medical symptoms, so they can prescribe medication.
Yep.
And the fact that the mum just injects her and she's unconscious is like, okay, I'll take her now.
And no one bats an eyelid. Yeah, I do not want to go to a chemist or a pharmacist like that.
Oh, with the scars, when she takes her back and you see Diane in the shower, you're right, between her shoulder blades, you do see this cross, don't you?
There you go. I knew you saw it somewhere, but I couldn't work out why you'd see a bare back.
Well, yeah, that's another question.
In this kind of film.
And she does call the pharmacist to say the doctor is changing the medication and tries to kind of make her like play it down to a certain degree and just put her daughter's kind of anxieties and just ignore her and apologize. And she just tries to make the things worse. But what I do like is when she's sending her emails, you can see on the computer that she's got the filter at the top for notifications for the like the fame notifications for the family whose baby was taken. So if there's any mentions on the news of that family, then it'll get filtered out and she'll know.
Oh yeah, I did look at you.
I can't claim any glory for that. That was something that I read and saw in interviews.
I was about to give you kudos for that.
No.
That was really cool.
But I looked at it and then kind of thought, yeah, well, on a rerun, I'll have a look at that. And it is on there. So little things like that I just thought were very, very, very cool because I just didn't notice it. But she does try and escape again and she picks the lock. But old Diane is ready for that. She's got a big old wooden stick. And she's blocking the door and she wants to get through. And this is something that I found quite funny when I watched this. She wants to get to her mum's room. So she climbs out the window, uses wires and a soldering iron to break the window of her mum's room. Mum's bedroom window. It was nonsense, wasn't it?
Yes, that is ridiculous. If you're going to smash a window, you just punch it. It's a single glazed window. Just punch the fucking thing.
But a soldering iron would not get as hot where as she's crawling across the like the outside, that it glows up kind of red hot like a big poker. It just doesn't get hot as that. I like the fact that she puts it against the window and then blows water at it and it freezes. But it wasn't that cold to freeze though, was it?
Well, it's not that. It's the shock, isn't it, in changing temperature that shatters glass. That's why you're told when your windscreen is frozen up, don't put a boiling hot kettle on it because the glass will just shatter. So that's what that effect is for. But like you say, it wouldn't heat it up that much. It just wouldn't. It's just ridiculous. No, I'm sorry. That's rubbish. And if she's... Yeah, just no.
But she does make an escape. She tries to use a stair lift and mum's unplugged everything so it doesn't work and she throws the wheelchair and falls down the stairs. But she does make it out to meet the mailman and his role in this is so weak. Fair enough that he doesn't do the normal thing of giving the kid back to the mum and just playing the whole thing down. He does do the safeguarding thing where he's going to take her to a hospital or take her to like the police station, wherever. But he's so slow. There's no urgency at all, is there?
No, which is really irritating because I don't care who you are, whether you know the family or not, you know the girl's not mental. So you'd think there was something odd about this situation if you find her. And if she's saying, no, please don't. Any adult that's sane is going to protect that kid beyond anything.
Is she okay?
I'm fine. Chloe, you just told me...
I don't give a shit what she told you, Tom. Is she hurt? Is she hurt?
She said that you hurt her.
She told you I hurt my own daughter? The doctor changed her medication 4 days ago, and it has messed with her head. I just came from the hospital. She doesn't know what she's saying.
Look, Miss Sherman, I'm sure you're right, but she just looks really bad.
Really bad? What happened to her?
I think it's best right now if we just...
Wait a second. I'm supposed to believe that my daughter, my young daughter, was found by you, an adult man, bleeding or bruised from God knows what, and now you won't let me talk to her?
Yeah, and he stands his ground, though. It's not like he backs down at all. He does really well. The mum's putting so much pressure on him, and he's like, no, like, if everything's okay, you can just follow us there, but I am taking her. And you're not having her. But there is just no urgency. And he does the convenient thing. And you know, as soon as he turns his back, you just know that something's going to happen to him. And she goes for the option of the gun, the syringe. And I would have liked it if he was talking and just bang, bullet to the back of the head. I would have liked that. That would have really shocked me more than a syringe in the neck, you know?
It's not very her, though, is it? That's not her. She doesn't like creating a mess, it doesn't seem. She likes to have a little neat package that she can... put away and just hide quite well. Shooting someone is a bit messy and a bit difficult to
It is, I would have loved that as a reflection of her desperation that you are not taking my daughter, you are not ruining my plans.
Do you not think the way that she... Sorry, go on.
No, that's it.
I was just going to say, do you not think the way that she locked her into the bedroom shows the desperation of not wanting her to get out for any call, to any reason?
It does.
She didn't. She locked the door, she bolted it with a broom handle, cut the phone line, cut the electricity to the chair. Literally any sort of reach to the outside world. She hasn't got a mobile phone. She's not allowed one. Nothing. I'd say that kind of shows massive desperation and you're worried that something's going to happen.
It does. I would have just liked to have seen what would happen if a third party gets in the way, being the mailman, and that she goes fully loopy and just blows his head off. That's what I would have liked to have seen, that because it would have been like, wow, like this is a horror. This is up in the ante like that. But an injection in the neck, I was like, oh, it's just, it's a bit weak. I've just seen her do that in a chemist. I want something more.
Yeah, samey. You like a bit of blood and gore and like real nastiness though.
Yeah, I like a bit of head being blown off. So, and that's what I want, really.
You like a bit of head. Interesting.
Do you know, as soon as I said that, I thought, if I used the word blown off at the end, I thought, no, you are just going to pick certain words out of that, then make it funny.
You're like, your head blown, that's what you said.
I'm not going to comment. You just, okay. And isn't it bollocks, I'm carrying on. And isn't it convenient in this film where she is locked in the basement and she finds all the letters? Why would you keep them? Of Washington University, where congratulations, you've been accepted. She then finds a box full of newspaper cut-ins that show parents distraught after baby kidnapped. And it's her. And she finds a photograph of her when she was younger with a post-it note over her legs. And she learns that she can walk. It's so convenient. Why do all of these people in all of these films keep evidence of their offence?
Because things like this wouldn't be able to happen to explain the story. Yeah, because it's really irritating, that's why.
It has to be done, I get that. It's so convenient, but to keep the death certificate of her daughter that was only alive for 2 hours, which is the nail in the coffin, for want of a better word, of the fact that the baby did die and she was called Chloe. So she knows for a fact that she has been kidnapped because everything is conveniently there and she finds it all in order. Baby death certificate, newspaper cuttings of baby taken, and a photograph of her. It's all done. And then it gets the flashbacks, don't you, of where she kind of takes Chloe, as we know her now, and leaves the hospital. And I didn't know where it was going to go from here. The first time I saw this, I expected like a traditional battle in the cellar. To the death, did you?
No, I didn't think it would be like that because it's a very unfair fight, isn't it? She's disabled, drugged, so she is disabled and chained up. So it's hardly a fair fight, to be honest. But I just figured she would end up overdosing her and killing her. I don't know how she's killed the mailman, but you do see her drag him away and there's blood all over the floor. So I'm presuming he's dead.
Yeah, I would like to have seen that, and that's disappointing. Yeah. But I like the fact that Chloe does lock herself in a cupboard when she escapes, and I kind of wonder, what are you going to do here? And she looks on the shelves for all these chemicals, and I wondered whether, because she's a clever girl, she's going to make some kind of, like, nerve gas or a bomb, or I didn't know which way it was going to go, but the fact she just necks this chemical because she knows the only way she can get out, and Mum wants to keep her alive, is to overdose on whatever toxin she takes. And it's a very smart idea, isn't it?
It is, and it shows her desperation to get out, because if Mum doesn't do what she thinks she's going to do, she's dead. So she's quite clearly saying, I would rather die than you keep me here.
Yeah, and she can't, and it's quite a clever thing, because she's obviously tried to kill herself, and it explains when Diane goes up and wants to discharge her that because she tried to kill herself that she needs to stay in and see a psychiatrist and everything. But and she does try to write down that Mum is a threat, and it just fails. I thought this would have been more of a climax in the film, But the ending kind of fizzles out to nothing.
Yeah, the ending really disappointed me because you've got someone who is such high risk that you can't leave their side. You can't let them even go with their parents. And yet an alarm goes off and you leave the side straight away. Yeah. Why would you? Why? If it's such a high risk situation, there's other people in the hospital. It's not like you're the only person. Why do you have to go to that when you've got your job? You've got your role. You don't need to go to that.
No, it's another one of those hospitals where there's no one there.
Yeah.
We've seen that so many times.
Yeah, there's a hospital full of staff, but then there's no one around.
This part, what I thought was going to happen, and you're going to go, no, I didn't. I bet you will always say that. But I'm pretty confident. She's going to write down, we know it's going to be mum, and the nurse has got her back to the door, and she's trying to write it down. And as soon as she writes the word mum down, I expected a scalpel or something similar in the nurse's neck.
I expected another syringe.
You expected it to be taken out then?
Yes. Yeah, I didn't expect what happened. I didn't expect her to just walk out and leave. I expected mum to do what she did to the postman.
But you praise that then for, like, building it up and it's going, da-da-da-da, it's going to happen, she's going to die. Then someone presses the crash bell, then she just leaves her. Is that good? Is that original? Or is it, oh, God. I mean, you could play it both ways, couldn't you?
I was disappointed. I found it a bit boring. But I found the whole thing, the whole film, nothing, they don't build in suspense very well.
No.
Because even though, like you say, what happens isn't necessarily what you thought was going to happen, it's not, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. It was, oh Jesus, that was shit. There's no suspense in it. You never think, oh, what's going to happen? You're never.
It made me laugh so much where Diane obviously puts Chloe in a wheelchair and she's like taken her out of the hospital again. And Chloe, you could not be any more distressed. But fair enough, her arms aren't really working. Obviously, she's disabled from the waist downwards. But the look of panic and distress on her face to everyone, like, who looks at her, and they don't act at all. And this is to medical staff, not members of the public. It's so funny. It's like the shittiest hospital going.
Well, no one even asks, are you okay? No one says anything. No. And it's quite disturbing, especially when she's someone who's literally just tried to kill herself. And it's that easy to walk out. Why? Okay, mum could get into the room, but why is she able to just walk out of that whole bit without someone challenging her? She should be on a paediatric ward, which is secure, shouldn't she? Like, there's so many issues with it. It was not, there's so much that you can't explain and that isn't answered and just is shite.
Yeah, because she's trying to kind of take her, and there seems a lack of urgency. And even at this part, I didn't think it was very kind of climactic at the ending. I was never at any point thinking, go on, make it, you can do it. I wasn't invested, like, edge of my seat. When I watched a film with No Escape with Owen Wilson, that's a really good film. That got me really, really anxious. I was edge of my seat on that. That's on Netflix. Completely recommend that film. But the ending of this, considering of what stakes were there, that if she takes her daughter is going to be prisoner again somewhere else. And that's it. But it just doesn't pay off like that. It ends at a kind of a standoff at the top of these stairs. And they kind of, they have a disagreement, don't they? But it's not really a shouting match. And then security come up with a gun. I mean, does security in hospitals have a gun?
I don't know, but mum has a gun, doesn't she?
Mum's got a gun, and they pull out and they shoot her in the arm, don't they?
Mm.
So, and she falls down the stairs and she's rescued, and that is it to a certain degree. And then it goes to, is it 7 years or several years later? How long is it?
I think it's 7 years, isn't it? I think it's numbered, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So 7 years later, you see Chloe, and she hasn't really aged in 7 years, and she's still in a wheelchair, isn't she?
I didn't understand. It's another thing that's not explained. Does that mean that the medication she was given has permanently disabled her because she's had so much and she's fucked up her muscles? Because I know she sort of walks a little bit, but badly and only with support. So does that mean it's not going to get better? Because surely within 7 years, the drugs are out of your system, long gone. That's a long time.
It is tricky, isn't it? Because this is obviously her mobility in real life, isn't it? Which is why her legs aren't kind of diminished like other people. So she can clearly walk, and it says, Annie's learning how to walk.
And I think the learning to walk, I don't think is talking about Chloe. I think Chloe is referring to her daughter or her child, because when she gets out of her wheelchair to walk through the metal detector when she's going into the prison or the hospital, you see wedding and engagement rings on her finger. So she's obviously in 7 years, she's obviously met someone, got married and had her own kid. So I think she's talking about her life that she's now got without her mum. So in a nice way, she's telling her how they're getting on, but in a bitchy way, she's saying, I've got my life. Fuck you. You're not part of it.
Oh, that's true. Because she's then talking about grandparents and things like that. So she's really got into the family unit, hasn't she now?
Yeah.
So
I think she's doing that as like to say, fuck you. You lost. And I'm thriving without you kind of thing. I didn't need you. You would need the one that needed me.
Yeah, that's right. And while she's doing that, you've got Diane there who looks like a hobo. She really, really looks bad, doesn't she? And at the end of it, Chloe gets the pill, the green and grey pill, out of her mouth. And she spits it out. And the fear, the fucking panic in Diane's face is really, really apparent.
I love you, Mom. Now open wide.
And you know what's going to happen. She's going to give her that medication and she tells her to open wide and the film finishes. So why is she doing that? I didn't get that. Is she doing that to try and keep her mum in a wheelchair? Because that was the medication, a muscle relaxant. I didn't quite get that.
Well, yeah, I think it's a bit of literally taste of your own medicine. I think it's revenge, isn't it? It's getting her own back so that her mum can feel... Because her mum kept her captive without seeing the outside world, without anything. And now she's doing it to her. So like you said at the beginning, the tables have turned and it's Chloe's chance, rightly or wrongly, to drug her mum to keep her where she is.
Her mum's going to stay like locked up for kidnapping and stuff like that. She'll be in prison for a long, long, long time. I don't know why she just doesn't get on with her life, you know what I mean?
I would just leave him to it. You know, you've been locked up. You're out of my life. You can't do it to anyone else. Fuck you. I'm going to go off and enjoy myself. Thanks very much.
So I would have thought torture enough would have been go there, show her like baby pictures, show her this is my family, this is my child, and that these are my true parents. And that would have been torture enough, even just to leave loads of photographs around. And that would have been great torture, you know what I mean? Going in wearing a t-shirt with the whole family on it and just sitting there with mouse mats, caps, flags, stuff like that.
How you do?
That's what I always do, yeah. I always do.
So,
that is Run on Netflix. And tell me what you think about your choice, Run.
It was a poor choice, I'm afraid. I was hoping for a horror, something a bit gory, something with killings and general horrificness, and there was none of that. Like I said, the only bit that was a little bit scary was where she's the dark figure watching Chloe while she's on the computer. There was nothing else scary about this. There's no suspense. You didn't get invested in the characters. You didn't really have a full backstory to either of them. So, like, the scars were never explained fully in it. You didn't understand why she kept her like that, why she felt the need. You don't know about Chloe's dad or the dad to the baby that died. You don't know anything. So there's a whole load of, there's more questions in the film than there are answers.
Yeah, it's strange. But what would you score this? I got a feeling you're going to possibly go in at 1 or 1.5.
I'm going in at 1 because I wouldn't recommend it. It was a waste of time. And like I say, you don't think, oh my God, what's going to happen? Mm. There's none of that. There's no... I do like the irony in the name Run, and obviously she's got no legs, so she can't run.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't... It's just rubbish, in my opinion. It's just a complete waste of time.
Well, I think that you're quite harsh on that, I have to say, but I expected you to do a low score because you are very, very tight with your scores.
That's my scores?
Pardon?
Just my scores?
Well, yes, yeah, definitely. But when you look, with Black Foam, you enjoyed that. The Guest, you didn't, yeah, you kind of shot that down. Obviously, Cannonball Run, that's an old film. Get Out, you enjoyed that. Jaws, you kind of shot that down. So it's kind of quite hard to please. There's no pleasing you, Mr. Powers.
Well, no, but see, I don't, you guys like horror and death and gore and action. I'm not really into those kind of films, so I can watch them, but I'm never going to go, oh my God, that was amazing. I prefer comedy because I prefer lighthearted. I deal with enough shit day to day. My kind of watching is just to not really have to concentrate, not really have to pay too much attention. It's just something nice going on in the background. So you guys watch films. Well, yeah, because I thought it might be a little bit of lighthearted killings, but there was none of that. I mean, I think we only had one death, if that. Well, apart from the dead baby at the beginning, but that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
That wasn't a murder. So, yeah, I look at or watch films for a very different reason to what all of you guys do.
Yeah.
I think I look, I get different things out of them, which is why you're into what you're into and I'm not.
Yeah. No, that's understandable. I'm going to give this a bit of a better score. I'm going to give this a 2 out of 5. And I thought it had its good elements. I thought the acting was really good. I thought the mum and daughter, the chemistry between them was good. It was really believable. There was some kind of bits of suspension, or there was some kind of bits of suspense, but I just found the ending lacked. It didn't grip me at all, and I like that. I really, really do. As I say, No Escape gripped me. Didn't know what was going to happen. In this, I always had a rough idea of where it was going, but I like the concept of it. I really, really do. Maybe a bit longer, a bit more kind of explanation that it would have been possibly a bit of a better film. But it was worth a watch. I don't think I'd watch it for a long time. I don't think I'd recommend it to anyone. Not because it was terrible, but there are better things out there that you can watch. And it definitely has been kind of miscategorized. It isn't a horror at all. I'd struggle to say it's a thriller. It's just a fucking film, end of the day. But as I say, Searching by the same director is good. If you come across that, if you can watch that, that's a really good film, very entertaining. But yeah, so that is Run on Netflix. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. In true style, again, we don't know what we're going to do next week, but there are podcasts released every week. There wasn't one last week just because I was on holiday and I do all the editing and it just couldn't be done. So we did miss a week, but there's shitloads to come out. There really, really is. As I say, we've got Get Out, Cannonball Run, The Black Phone, The Guest. That's all due to come out, and Jaws 2 as well. They're all on the queue. We've reviewed them all, and they'll be available very soon. So, but we will be back next week. That is one thing that is definitely happening. And thanks for listening. Kel, have you enjoyed yourself?
I have enjoyed myself. I'm sorry that the film was a bit poop. But I have enjoyed myself, yes.
Consistent, if anything, aren't you?
Yeah, I deserve that. It's not as, come on, it is not as bad as The Cult of Chucky. You've got to give me that at least. It's bad, it's not that bad.
The Cult of Chucky was, you could laugh though, you could have fun. At this film, you couldn't have fun.
No, that's actually true.
So, yeah, sorry about that. You're still stuck with that crown.
This is still shit.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Well, you're laughing now at me. I appreciate it's not with me, but still, you're laughing.
Either or, I'll take it. I don't mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Well, everyone take care. Look after yourselves, and we're back next week. All the movie clips and music used in this podcast are the intellectual property rights of the respective copyright holder and used to only enhance your listening experience. And any infringement caused is unintended. Well, that's it now, and we will see you next week.